Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on the Road in West Palm Beach, the site of Washington Nationals spring training. Happy to be joined by Mike Rizzo, president and GM of your Washington Nationals. In the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo is presented by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Welcome down to beautiful West Palm.
Yeah.
The facility is amazing.
The facility is incredible.
It's nice.
It's so great. Nice. And you even have a pool on the side of the clubhouse. And our program director is basically saying, what do you think would happen to you if you went shirtless and cannonballed into the pool? And I said, well, Mike Rizzo would call the cops, and I would never be allowed on the facility grounds ever again.
Why? You're contaminated or something?
Well, it's not my place to do cannonballs in the pool.
You'd be breaking protocol, but I don't think he would arrest you.
Just, it's just a bad look. It would be a bad look.
It would be a bad look, probably, but I think it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It would be a good story.
It would be a good story.
Yeah, probably
would.
It would
be a bad look because you'd have your shirt off.
Yeah, terrible. I just walked by Bryce Harper, and I just felt even worse about myself.
He wouldn't even make eye contact with Bryce.
Well, what? I'm not going to bother Bryce Harper.
You're not bothering him by making eye contact.
Well, I just want to leave the guy alone. The guy gets hounded by the media all the time.
Well,
he doesn't need me to do it.
There's certain questions you're not supposed to ask him.
I'm well aware. Trust me.
He said he went in there and to use the bathroom. He got emasculated by Bryce and Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, Anthony Rendon basically said, why are you wearing the knit cap? You're in Florida.
Well,
it's 50 degrees when there's no sun out. But it's fine. Anthony's a good dude. So is Bryce. I get it.
Mike, it was chilly out here at 4:30, 4:45.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's chilly out here.
It's sweatshirt weather, and then it'll be mid-70s for game time. So it's going to be great.
What is the day-to-day for a team president and GM during spring training?
Well, spring training, it's an early go. It's early start. You know, you're up at 6 every day. You get here at 7:30 or so, and I go into my office and kind of crank that up and get that day started, and then I come down here.
But what type of activities are you doing in the office? I mean, you're just
preparing the day's activities. You know, there's a lot of days, especially at this time, there's we're considering who we're sending out to the minors or who we're releasing.
Gotcha.
And that type of thing. So there's roster issues all the time. There's our daily protocols that we'll meet with staff, big league staff. We have a little get together there, and then about 8:30 or so, we go down and mingle with the players, mingle with the coaches, have a conversation with a bunch of people, eat our breakfast. And
are you great at remembering names?
I'm not.
Because it's amazing. Like, how many players are here when you count the big leaguers and the minor leaguers?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, that part, those guys, those
he knows
guys
all those
I
guys.
Know
yeah.
pretty are pretty good because, you know, after 12 years, you better know their name. So the new guys, I make it a point to introduce myself to them first day of spring training. It's no Mr. Rizzo or whatever that. It's Riz or Hey You or whatever. And you build a rapport with these guys. And I'm around a lot. I'm with these guys a lot, and I watch them a lot of times from a distance. And and then, you know, when the day starts, we have our circle of trust there at 9:30. That's the team, and the coaches are there. I often watch from my perch up there and in my office patio, and then over to backfields and see what they're doing, and for their pregame work, or the minor leaguers are playing out over there, and then game time, and then 5 o'clock or so, you're just about done for the day.
Who uses this ballpark once the season starts, if anybody?
Nobody uses the stadium field. We have our Gulf Coast League team plays here. We play at the what we call the AAA field with the lights out back here.
Okay.
What's it like sharing the facility with the Houston Astros? Do you even like really interact with them much, or are you guys just like two separate camps, one on one side, one on the other?
No interaction.
None.
It's remarkable that you can have this many major league players in a small circumference of a city and not run into just about anybody at any time. And
You never bring over one of your guys and then just go to the GM of the Astros and say, hey, we'll trade this guy for Altuve.
No.
What do you think about that today?
Bad protocol, probably.
Yeah, it's probably frowned upon.
I would just do it as a bit every day and just bring a different guy every day. Like, this guy's an unbelievable prospect.
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to hit 700 home runs. How about him for Altuve?
But yeah, straight up right now.
But it has to be great. When
get
you,
it done.
When you play the Astros, there's no bus ride. There's a, you know, when you guys were in Vieira, we know one of the big hurdles was – you got to get on a bus. You got to take a 2.5-3 hour bus ride, and that's
every
the last
day.
Thing these guys want to do.
Grind, it was
man.
Rough,
and it
man.
Wears on the bodies. And it's the last thing you want.
It really does. You know, the biggest. Vieira was a fine city. You know, they treated us great, and we had a good fan base there. The ballpark was older, but it was doable. The travel was just becoming untenable, and you know, down here we have three long road trips this whole spring training. It's like 27 of our games are within 15 minutes of this ballpark.
It's beautiful.
So it's really beautiful.
Do you think that actually could have an impact in the regular season?
It definitely is conducive for development of your players and them getting ready. Because you remember, Vieira, you didn't see a veteran on a road trip. You know, we're not going to have Jason Wirth get in his car, drive 2 hours to Jupiter, and then 2 hours back, you know, to get four innings of baseball in. So they played mostly at home games, and then they did their workouts. But here, you know, guys are traveling. They get to play. They get on their regular schedule every other day. They can, you know, usually at the beginning, and then we ramp them up, you know, to play a couple of 9-inning games in a row before the season starts. So really conducive for getting their work in and for preparing for the season.
So are the Astros practicing – is there a set of fields that we just can't see on the other side here? Is that where they are?
The Astros have – not they have this we have the same footprint, but they did their thing a little bit different. But yeah, they've got their 6.5-7 fields, and
right.
They have their batting cages
over there.
It's the stadium divides us.
Gotcha.
And they go that way and we go south, and it's a terrific setup, really conducive to getting your work done.
So we saw that you guys optioned Victor to AAA Syracuse, which is a good move because he'll actually play.
Sure.
What did you notice about him this spring training? I know he struggled a little bit at the plate, but you know, I don't know how many of those at bats were quality at bats. What did you notice about Victor this year?
He's, you know, as advertised, he's going to be a really good impact player for us in the near future. He's extremely young and needs to get his reps in. It's all about preparation for the big leagues, and you know, they say getting to the big leagues is difficult, but staying in the big leagues is the most difficult part. And you know, I think when he comes to the big leagues, he probably stays there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. He's just a stud athlete.
He's a great athlete. He's got great tools, but he's also got instincts and you know, playability. He's got a good clock in his head and baseball clock in his head, and he really gets after it. And the, you know, the thing that I kind of separates him from a lot of 19 and 20 year old big leaguers that I've had in the past is, you know, this kid is a beautiful person. He's a humble, but very, very confident, and that's a great balance to have. He's a humble, confident player at a very, very early age.
Right. And Brian will be the fourth outfielder, we assume?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Goody's having a good spring training. He's played all three outfield positions, excuse me, and been swinging the bat pretty well, and just, you know, getting his sea legs under him, and he's played a lot early in camp, and now as the starters start filtering in and playing longer and more innings, you know, his at bats will taper off.
So tell us about the acquisition of Helixson, Jeremy Helixson. What are your thoughts on that? You know, how far behind is he? Does he have a legitimate shot as a fifth starter? What do you see on him?
Well, he certainly has the talent to be a fifth starter in the big leagues. You know, he was a great big leaguer. Had a great season in 2016. Obviously, when he pitched in the AL East, he's a really good pitcher for them.
Yep.
We recognize a few delivery flaws that he's worked on in the off season to possibly improve some command and some location stuff. So you know, he's a legitimate major league pitcher. It gives us a greater depth in the rotation. And you know, he came in about 2.5 weeks behind schedule in spring training. He's going to get his first taste, I think, Friday in our split doubleheader. He's going to start one of those games, and we'll assess then really where he's at and how far away he is from being able to help us in the big leagues. But you know, before we acquired him, we loved our five guys, and AJ Cole has thrown extremely well. Eric Fetty has thrown extremely well, and Hellickson just adds another layer to that depth.
Hmm. How do you distinguish those two guys, Cole and Fetty, right now?
Cole's more experienced. He's got more big league innings under his belt. He hadn't had Tommy John surgery, so he hadn't had to be protected with our innings protocol that Eric has had. But Eric's, I think, over that hump and just starting to scratch his surface of being a really good big league pitcher.
Have you become an expert on the elbow and the arm over the years?
I'm
we were
sure
talking
he
to
has.
Sean Kelly, and Sean was talking about his decision to have stem cell therapy, and I'm sure, like, just going through all this stuff, surgeries, that you're becoming a bit of an expert.
Well, we've had a lot of experience with it. You know, it's something that you really have to dive into. We dove into it. We had a protocol. I've had a protocol in my mind when I was an assistant GM back in Arizona and through my days here, early days in Washington. When I got the opportunity, I sat down with our pitching people and our medical people. Excuse me. And we put together a real format of how we're going to handle these guys. Unfortunately, it got put to the test right away with Jordan Zimmermann, and that worked out extremely well for Jordan and for us.
Don't worry, it happens to me all the time.
and you know, so we really got our feet wet with that, and then you know, obviously the stress thing was extremely a popular topic for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Position battles right now. Can you give me a couple that you see that are evident, or is everyone pretty much locked into their roles at this point?
Well, you know, we've got about 22 of the 25, you know, roster spots are just about set. If there's no injuries that happened late in camp, but mm-hmm. You know, we're Seve and Maggie Montero battling behind the plate. We've got some the fifth starter spot, you know, is still we're assessing that. I said earlier, AJ Cole will be on the team somewhere. He's too talented not to. If he's not the fifth starter, then he'll be one of our bullpen guys.
Oh, okay.
And we'll have some bullpen competition spots still up for grabs.
Okay.
Where are we at with Daniel Murphy?
Murph is just beginning his baseball protocol. He's taking ground balls. He's taking batting practice, but he obviously hasn't sprinted yet. He hasn't played in any games, he's behind. So he probably starts the season on the DL. Hopefully it's a short, he doesn't miss many games. We've got a lot of days off at the beginning of spring. So with the depth players that we have and Howie and Defoe, we think that we can weather a short storm without Murph being in the lineup for a couple of weeks.
So you're thinking 2 to 4 weeks probably that he'll miss?
No, I'm not going to put a timetable on it. When you see Murph in the batter's box, you'll know he's ready because he's got a very good feel for where he's at. Again, his knees are extremely important. His legs, when he hits, is extremely important. He's one of the hitters that utilizes lower half of his body more than any hitter that we have, and more than a lot of hitters in the league. So we need to make sure that he's good to go. If we didn't have the depth and the quality backups that can play second base, we may have rushed him a little bit more, but we don't have to. We want him set, and Murph got a good feel for his body and knows what he's doing.
One last question from me on Worth. I know he didn't fit into your plans, you know, being a National League club and all that. Are you surprised that he hasn't latched on with an AL club? Because I assume he can still hit, and he can still play outfield every now and then. But definitely help you off the bench. Is that something you think he's interested in, or, you know, is it a surprise he doesn't have a spot right now?
It surprises me that he doesn't have a spot. He's a quality player. You know, to me, he fits perfectly on a team that's looking for a right-handed component to a platoon in left field.
Right.
He wears out left-handed pitching, and you know, he's a championship pedigree. He's a clubhouse leader and a great guy, and he's one of those guys that I've always envisioned as a guy that is one of those complementary pieces that you bring into a club that's on the verge of winning, that needs that leadership type of guy that can push you over the top.
Do you still talk to him?
Yeah, I talk to him all the time.
So he's still working out and everything?
Oh yeah, he's in great shape. You know, he's a workout, you know, fiend.
Yeah.
So he eats right and he works out every day. He's got a huge gym in his place.
Still swinging the bat. And
still
everything.
Baseball activities and doing things right. And I think he's itching to play. I think he wants to play. He told me, you know, at the latter part of last season that he planned to play for a couple more years, and he thinks he's capable of doing it.
We know that he's into organic farming now,
yeah.
So I would hope you're getting a box like every few months or so of some fresh vegetables or whatever else he's growing on the farm.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that with J-Dub. Yeah, I've been around him too much. I don't know if I want to trust his organics.
Who throws today? Do you know?
We are throwing – I can't Gio, I think.
Gio's throwing it.
Yeah.
And you guys are playing Houston.
We're playing Houston, yes.
Cool.
So all no right. Travel. Zero travel. It's right here.
I think it's a home game today, but yes, we're playing Houston, and
yes.
You know, it's funny. It's confusing too when you play a road game and you're playing Houston, and you know,
you don't know
what time to go for, you know, BP and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
Well, all right, Mike. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Hope you get home safe.
Yeah, we hope so, too.
Yeah.
Hope the flight leaves on time.
We'll Wouldn't
see.
Be the worst
we'll
thing in the world to be in Florida one more day.
If you're
going
to get stuck, this would be a good spot.
Turning out to be nice. All right, Mike Rizzo, of course, the president and GM of the Nats. And I got to talk to you about 5-Hour Energy because I think Mike probably popped one this morning. He's got a little pizzazz, a little energy this morning. I was the first one of the broadcast this morning. How did I do it? Well, I woke up and had a 5-Hour Energy, mixed berry to kickstart my day. Everyone was dragging, but not me. I feel alert and focused. Right now, 5-Hour Energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign with a unique twist on this year's College Hoops Tournament. You've got the ability to swap your incorrect selections during the tournament as the game is being played. You see an upset in the making, swap the favorite out to ensure that your bracket is 100% correct. All you got to do is go to 5hourenergybrackets.com. That's 5hourenergybrackets.com, where you can click on the link on the fandc.com's homepage.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from National Spring Training. And join us right now, senior baseball writer from ESPN, ESPN.com, is Eddie Matz.
The real journalist in our midst here.
Where?
You. You're it. Compared to us.
What?
I mean, you're like Walter Cronkite. Could I come up with an older reference? Walter Cronkite?
You are, though.
What am I doing?
Weren't you making fun of me for an old reference
I was.
Earlier in the show? I forget what the reference was, but I think it was more modern than Walter Cronkite.
I just re-raised you. I just shoved all the chips in. So stupid. Eddie, welcome. Thanks
Thank
for joining
you.
Us. Glad we appreciate it.
Yep.
Now, Eddie's been kind of in and out, back and forth here from spring training, and you not only cover the Nationals, you cover the whole league, but what's your vibe here? Is it any different, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think camp, with Davey, the way Davey's been running it, with you know, you've heard about him with the camels,
right.
The chipping contest, and what else did he do?
There's a putting contest coming up. We talked about that with Sean Kelly. There might be some money on the line.
Yeah, so I think it's not like Dusty was great. Dusty was loose.
Mm-hmm.
But
Dusty told a lot of stories.
He did. He was like an uncle. You felt like you were by the fire. It was a much more passive kind of loose. This is like an active loose, right?
Right.
I think it's great. I mean, I love the whole embrace the hump thing. Like, don't pretend it's not here. You know, you go back to even before Dusty with Matt Williams, it's the polar opposite, right? Like,
right.
Matt pretended that nothing happened, right? When Papelbon went ballistic on Rice, like, he pretended it never happened.
No, yeah, right? Post-game. Didn't see it, right.
Yeah. And when they got eliminated from the playoffs, like, mathematically, I'll never forget, like, post-game, he was like, we got another game tomorrow.
Right.
Like,
he's
what?
Not addressing the elephant
what?
In the room.
What is like, he, yeah. Be a human being, please.
Right.
So this couldn't be more human. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's great that Davey has the chutzpah to do that as a first year skipper, because it would be easy to just kind of go with the flow. But I think it's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's great.
But like you mentioned, he knows there's pressure. He can't come in here and win like 75 or 80 games. This is a team that has to win the NL East, that should advance further in the playoffs. So he knows there's pressure on him, even though he's a first year guy, rookie manager at 53.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's embracing it, and I think it's exactly what these guys need. I don't know that it's going to necessarily make a difference come October, assuming that they do what they're supposed to do and win the division. And I don't know that that's going to get them over the hump, but if it does, and if they end up winning a series or three,
yeah,
people will look back at this and think he's a genius.
Right.
Right? Right.
Absolutely.
And they'll think Rizzo's a genius too.
Yeah, I mean, look. I mean,
for making the move.
100%. And yeah. So far, you know, I don't know that it makes a difference in the clubhouse, like what I see in the clubhouse with the guys. It's still a relatively business-like clubhouse,
mm-hmm.
just because I think that's some of the personalities in the room. You know, guys like Murph, Harper, Rendon, they're kind of – business-like
do
kind
their
of guys,
job.
As opposed to, you know, I've been over on the Astros side of the complex quite a bit this spring. And
well, they're just goofing around.
Couldn't be more different.
Really?
You know, George Springer's the DJ, and there's constantly music, and they've got, you know, Reddick and Correa, but they're all like 22.
Yeah, much younger.
And
yeah.
And there's a lot of young guys here, too. It's just a very different vibe. I think people think that each major league clubhouse acts exactly the same.
Are there more Latin guys on that side, too?
What's that?
More Latin guys that are top players, maybe, on the
yeah.
Houston side?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't done the math, but maybe.
Sounds like it, yeah.
You got, what do you got? Correa, Altuve, Marwin Gonzalez, Yuri Gurriel, that's four that start. But yeah, they're just, I think they're just younger.
It's just different personalities. Yeah, it's also the personalities.
Yeah, they've also won. I mean, when you win the championship, it's easy
you're
to come
coming
in and do that.
Free rolling.
Yeah, so.
All right, here's the most important question I'm going to ask you today. Should I give our friend Michael Jenkins over there in the Polo from NBC Sports Washington, who's on his way to Vegas later, should I give him $100 to put a futures bet on the Nationals to win the World Series? Would that be a smart play?
Depends.
What are the odds?
What do you think? It's 8-1?
Probably 7 or 8-1, I would guess.
It depends. How rich are you?
I'm not rich.
He's pretty rich.
I'm not rich.
He sits on a pile of it. He doesn't spend it.
I don't know what these guys are talking That's about.
Come on, Elkakes. You got so much money.
For $100, sure, why not?
Yeah,
but you know, the odds aren't great. It's like did you hear if we digress, did you hear about these dudes from UMB the dudes put I actually know one of those dudes
yeah.
who was part of that
oh, really?
Part of that
put, yeah. put the $800 on the money line.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
20-1?
17 grand to come back.
Big
though.
Winners. And then
but
they
how
took
could, how could it only be 20-1?
I would have thought
I thought it would have been higher.
I thought it was 25-1, but maybe it was 20.
Even, I mean it should have been 200-1.
Yeah.
It's been ridiculous. Anyway, yeah. So at 7-1 or 8-1, sure, why not? I think the Nationals will get to the World Series. I think they'll lose to the Astros.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean the Astros no one's repeated since 2000, I think, right?
Right.
But
they're stacked.
I mean They won 101 games last year. That was without Correa for 6 weeks.
Right.
It was without Keuchel and McCullers for periods of time. Who got dinged up. It was
they had Cole.
Verlander.
It was without Verlander for 5 months, right?
Yeah.
Without Garrett Cole.
Yep.
I mean, on paper, assuming that the injury bug doesn't hit, how does that team not win 139 games?
They should win a bunch.
All of a sudden, I'm souring on the bet. Jenks, I'm not giving you $100. I was about to hand it over. I was about to
you love season-long bets, though.
I do. I love
There's
them.
There's something about Cakes and season-long bets. He'll bet on the Bulls.
Well, keeps you in. Keeps you in it, right?
Yeah.
Keeps
well,
you invested.
We bet. We bet. We got a pretty sizable bet on Nats wins over 91.5. So
yeah, over all day long. Over.
I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with that. As long as they stay healthy, they should easily get to 92. Not easily, but they should get to 92.
I think they win 91.75.
See, you asked if I was rich. Would a rich guy only bet 200 on that bet he just talked about? No.
On over 91.5?
Yeah. A rich guy would probably bet, I don't know, 5K, 10K?
At least. Yeah.
I'm a small fish over
you're
here.
You're also a squeaker. You don't like to spend your money.
That part is true as well. You did nail that.
Is Rizzo going to get an extension?
I would think so. I would hope so.
Why? What's the holdup? I mean, I know it's the way learners that they do it, but
I don't know.
I mean, look at the teams he's put together. You really want to – what if another team came in and wants to steal him? I mean, they're kind of risking that, aren't they?
Yeah, I suppose there is that risk, right? But if that were to happen, you would think there would be open lines of communication and he would come to them and say, hey, look, these guys are talking to me. What are you going to do? That's what I would do if I were him. But, yeah, although, typically, these things, when they do get resolved like right at the deadline in season. I'm not sure when his contract exactly is
I think it's
up.
The 31st, October. I think it's Halloween.
That's
oh,
right.
It is postseason.
Yeah.
All right, so that, right. So, yeah, I mean, he's done everything that you would want a general manager to do short of getting the team to the World Series, but I don't think that's on him, right? Like, he didn't make Wilson Ramos pop his knee a week before the playoffs. He wasn't responsible for Harper's injury last year.
Right. He didn't make Weeders throw the ball in the right field.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you could argue, you know, if you're really nitpicking, you could argue something about Strasburg and his contract and the fact that he's done everything that you would want a general manager to do. He's made some great deals. You know, maybe if you're doing a fine-tooth comb, you could find issue with them.
I mean, it looks like the future is stocked with prospects that are going to be impact players.
I mean, I would
at
think,
least from what
Eddie,
we hear.
I would think if Mike Rizzo was a free agent, there'd be a handful of teams that would want him. 10, 12 teams that would say, all right, this guy is put together championship quality teams. Let's get him.
Except not this year because free agency it doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Apparently it's dead in baseball.
He would get a one-month deal for $5.99.
Right. That is true. That is true.
What do you think is going to happen with Victor Robles? I mean, they sent him down. Is he going to come up in a couple months? Is he going to be an impact player for fans to, like, track?
I think he'll come up if and when they need him. He clearly has some stuff to learn, right? He started off hot at the beginning of spring, and then they kind of figured out, let's throw him a little bit more off-speed stuff. So it's not like Ronald Acuna for the Braves, who was hitting, like, .432 and was arguably the Grapefruit League MVP, if there is such a thing.
Right.
That move was wrapped in red tape all over, right? That was to delay the arbitration clock so that they can get another year. So Acuna will probably be up like at midnight on April 14th,
right?
I think Robles has some – they want him playing every day. They've been very clear about that. And right now, you know, you got Eaton, Taylor, Harper. So, I mean, there are risks, right? Eaton, we don't know if his knee's going to hold up. It should.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him earlier this morning. He feels good about it. Harper has a knack for getting hurt. Hopefully he doesn't for the Nationals' sake. Taylor has – been dinged up a little bit, plus, you know, are you completely sold that what you saw last year was the leap? So if any one of those things falters, then yeah, maybe Robles comes up and either pops right into the lineup or slots in behind Goodwin, who backs up one of those guys. But so I think it depends. If someone either gets hurt or underperforms, then we see Robles, but not until then.
So he would be the first guy called up?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure.
What about Stevenson? Where do you think he fits in?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to be him.
Right.
I think, right?
Because he's played a lot this spring.
Yeah, and last year, you know, he was in that mix with Goodwin, and he acquitted himself fairly well. I mean, didn't, like, set the world on fire, but you could put him in there and know that he wasn't going to totally screw up, right? But now with a guy like Robles, as close as he's going to be, assuming Robles gets off to a good start and continues what he was doing last year in the minors, we don't know. He hasn't played in AAA yet, right?
Yeah.
But assuming Robles continues
lives
to
up
hit
to
like
his
300,
potential.
Then, you know, if you're calling up Stevenson or Robles, you know, who are you going to call up?
Oh, absolutely.
Your favorite type of music going on in the background here, Jason.
Yeah. Is that loud enough?
Hey, it's Turn It Up Day at Nat Spring Training. You heard that from Mike Rizzo.
Oh, it's Turn It Up Day?
Turn It Up.
They need to turn up the fundamentals,
I was
apparently.
Wondering why all these boom boxes were going off.
Yep.
Yeah. They looked a little sloppy yesterday.
Oh, really?
In the game, yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
But who played?
How many errors they have?
I wasn't.
Did Defoe have one?
There were a few bobbles in the infield. I kind of lost track of who was doing it because it was spring training and I wasn't entirely focused.
Right.
But there was some sloppiness out there.
Where are you going next after Nats?
After here, I head back up north at the end of the week, and then I'm done for spring. Then it's opening. Next stop is opening day.
What's your schedule in terms of what teams you decide to go visit during the regular season? Are you mostly just regional, or do you go all over the place?
You know, I try not to travel because I got a wife and three kids. Wife works full time; she's an ER doc. So the last thing they need is for me to get out of the house. So I'll do when the Nationals are home. I'm typically with them. When they're away and the Orioles are home, I'm at Camden Yards, typically with sometimes home clubhouse for the Orioles, sometimes visiting clubhouse to do some national baseball stories.
Now the Orioles over under for team wins was 74.5. I didn't touch it.
You stayed away.
I stayed away.
Good man.
It's hard for me to go under 74.5 because I just think that, you know, even the average team can get there. But what's your take on them this year? With, you know, Machado switching to short, and they always struggle with pitching.
The rotation is
pathetic. So what's your thought on them?
Yeah, so I would say a week ago I would have been all on the under there, like no question. But with Alex Cobb signing, which looks like it's about to happen, on top of Andrew Cashner, who's not great, but, you know, there's enough pieces.
They're competent.
The pitching was the question mark. It was Bundy and Gausman, and then what? And now it's Bundy, Gausman, Cashner, Cobb, and Tillman. And Tillman was awful last year.
It's terrible.
But if he can even come close to, like, pre-2017, all of a sudden he's, like, a number five starter instead of the guy that was supposed to be their
number one
last year.
Yeah.
So they still don't have, like, a guy, but they have, like, five legitimate major league pitchers, which is something they haven't had in a while.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.